Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sydney Morgan, the Vice President of Learning and Organizational Development, and I'm lucky enough to lead the Penn Medicine Academy. And welcome to Lunch with Leaders. In service of getting our conversation started, we have a couple of housekeeping tips so you can participate fully. So let me turn it over to my colleague and the executive producer of Lunch with Leaders from PMA, Youngin Cho. Youngin, can you give us some tips?
Sure. Welcome everyone to Lunch with Leaders. We have great speakers today and we're thrilled you're able to join us. We would love the session to be engaging and we need your active participation. So first, get your cell phones ready to answer our polls. We have two today. Second, you can ask questions. So use the Q&A window to ask your questions to our presenters. And third, we love hearing from you, so please share your comments and experiences using the chat feature. Our team will be monitoring the questions and chat and will incorporate into the conversation. If we can't address all during the hour, we'll follow up and you can always reach back out to us at PMA. Thank you. Enjoy the live cast and back to you, Cindy.
Thanks, Youngin, and thanks for all of your efforts, as well as the rest of the PMA team for ensuring that today goes well. So, what's Lunch with Leaders? Hopefully, you're not first timers, but if you are, welcome. We're thrilled to have you. I think you're going to like this. For those who I see in the chat and I see a lot of familiar names, I want to say welcome back. Thanks for coming. For those who are new, first timers, again, welcome. Lunch with Leaders is a safe space for leaders like us to come together and learn both from our expert guests that we have on the show, as well as through each other via the chat. I'm always blown away with what's shared on the chat because I'm learning at the same time that I'm learning from our guests. So I love it when you're sharing what's happening with you and your teams with your peers and colleagues. I also have heard that what Lunch with Leaders really is a moment for us to come together, maybe have some lunch, but recognize that we're not alone in this battle for being great leaders. So welcome. Today, we have a great set of guests. We've also had nine other Lead Strong Lunch with Leaders presentations, and all of them are on the Lead Strong page off of the homepage for the UPHS intranet. So someone will put in the chat how you can find all of our resources as well as back episodes. So don't miss it for certain. So we got to go to the mailbag. I'm not going to sing this week. But we did get some really nice mail, and I would say that Dr. Weber, Monica, and Scott also got some of amazing comments from you over the course of the week, and they said it made their nervousness worth all of it, thanks to your feedback. So I got some notes too, and I just wanted to say thanks. We love hearing from you. I've got to give a shout out to our girl, Sylvia. She used to be in PMA, so it's probably a little bit biased because, I'm a big fan of Sylvia, and I'm glad she's a fan of the show. But she had a great quote that we had to put up there. Dr. Weber's comment, "Be so good that they can't ignore you," is my new philosophy. And I heard that repeatedly over the course of the last 2 weeks, that comment, while Dr. Weber's like, "I didn't say it myself, I was quoting someone else." So she wanted me to go on record by clearing that up. I think a lot of that resonated for so many of us. Additionally, we have a lot of feedback in the survey. So thanks for taking the time to give us the feedback. You can see that people really appreciated Christy as well as the other guests. And we saw great hits to the development planning toolkit on the PMA sites. We were thrilled that we could make the connection to some of the great tools and resources that the team has been building to help you be even more successful. So thanks for your feedback from last week. Let's turn our attention to today because it's going to be really good. But first, I just have to tell you that like Dr. Weber's motto, I have my own motto, and we've sort of adopted it in PMA. We're nothing if not agile. And I'm a girl with a strategy always in my heart. So I came prepared just in case. You just never know what flies might be around. I figured I would help myself out and help you. I also wanted to let you know that I coached our guests today that there were going to be no interruptions of one another or any glaring stares. So I think we're set. So today's objectives are the following. Understand what strategic planning is and how it can bring value. We're also going to share best practices and tips from you, from our guests, for developing a successful strategic plan. Finally, we have new tools today to roll out, including a strategic planning DIY toolkit that you're going to love. And we'll talk about other resources that we have for helping you to develop a strategic plan. So again, I see the chat lighting up. We love hearing from you. Send in your questions. I'm going to incorporate as many as I can throughout. So this is the participation time for all of us. I'd like you to pull out your phones. I want to just do a quick pulse check, see how you're doing. Hopefully you've had a smile and you're kind of just taking the hour for yourself to really invest. So text Penn Medicine 918 to 22333. Once you do that, you'll receive a response saying that you're now in the survey. If you have a problem, just do it in the chat. So here's my question for you. What emotions are you feeling today? Shoot a text to that number. Tell me what emotions you're feeling. And while we wait for you to tell us how you're feeling, let me take a minute to introduce our three panelists today. You're in for a treat. First is Dr. Jim Metz. He's our chair of radiation oncology at the Perelman School of Medicine. And he's also the associate director for clinical services and programs at the Abramson Cancer Center. He's been here a long time. He was one of the people who helped to open and lead the development of the Roberts Proton Therapy Center, which is the largest proton center in the world, completely integrated in our cancer center. And he's also the longtime originator and editor-in-chief of Oncolink, which is an amazing source for cancer news and resources. We also have Dr. Lynn Schuchter. She's the division chief within HEMONC here, as well as she is the director of the Tara Miller Melanoma Center at the Abramson Cancer Center. And Lynn is really well known throughout the field of hematology, oncology, and we're really lucky to have her. Finally, we have my twinsie, and here's a little known fact. Carolyn Houston from the Penn Medicine Academy, she has been here 4.5 years, and she serves as a senior OD consultant with our team, and she's a strategic planning expert. And here's the little known fact. Carolyn and I, unbeknownst to each other, figured out 2 years into our relationship here at work that we were born literally on the same day, the same year, in the same time zone, and I'm not gonna tell you who's older, it's Carolyn, but it's not me. So I'm really excited to have my twinsie here today. So welcome, Carolyn, Jim, Lynn. You can come off of, you can put your videos on and say hi to everyone.
Hi, for the record, I just wanna point out that I'm also wiser though.
That is true on many different fronts, for certain. So thanks so much for being here. All right, Casey, if you wouldn't mind putting up the results of how people are feeling today. Happy was definitely our test emotion, so hopefully other people also said happy, and we'll see that momentarily. Oh, this is what I feared. Frustrated. Young, and should we be worried that it's a little slow?
Yeah, there must be some technical issues going on. I think it's coming up, but it's just taking time today.
Thanks, Youngin. Casey, don't panic, it's okay. All right, well, we'll come back to this. Let us press on. If you wanna tell me how you're feeling in the chat, I'm happy to take a glance. But I have another question that I'd really like your response to, and I think it will serve our conversation well. With the answer of yes or no, I'd like to hear from you. Do you have a strategic plan or goals for your team, your group, your division, your department? If you do, you can answer yes. If you can't, no. Seems like Sheila's having some challenges getting into the text. So, all right. So, in the chat, if you wouldn't mind, do you have a strategic plan or goals for your team, your department, your division? We'd love to hear that in terms of, okay, not to worry if the text doesn't work. Let's go right to the chat function. Again, like me, Like PMA, you audience members are nothing if not agile. So who has a strategic plan, yes or no? So as we review that, it seems like a lot of people do. So I'm so glad you're here. We've got a lot to cover, and I think I'd love to hear your tips. So Carol, let me turn it over to you. Strategic planning, sometimes the lingo, I don't know about anyone else in the audience, I'm always confused. What's the vision? What's the mission? What's the strategy? What's a tactic? They all sort of blend together. So before we go to Jim and Lynn and hear from them, can you give us a primer on some of the lingo in strategic planning so we're all working off the same mental model?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I'll say, you know, it's easy to get confused, and I've done this for many, many years, and it's even easy for me to get confused. I have to work through the just different mind tricks to keep things clear and separate. You know, just to start with, though, that a strategic plan is to create a sense of purpose. So all the components that you hear are really around driving toward a destination that can help remove all the distractions and keep your team aligned and just moving in that same direction. So the components are, Casey, you're going to start bringing them up. The first you hear is a vision. A vision is something that you declare what you aspire to be or achieve in 10, 20 years. So one of the famous ones we heard President Kennedy say in 1961 that he wanted to put a man on the moon. Not something you do right away. It's clearly very aspirational, but achievable. I think they did it in about 8 years. And then a mission statement. That's your purpose. That's the organization's purpose, why you get up every day and do what you do. And Nike says, bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. And in Penn Medicine, academic medicine, we care for our patients, we conduct research and groundbreaking discoveries, and train the future field leaders. Then we have goals. Goals are, they're shorter term. So visions, 10, 20 years. Goals are really what you aspire to achieve in 3 to 5 years. So these are meant to be specific, very actionable, and again, the sort of time-bound sense of it. In a healthcare example, we might provide patient-centric care. That's a good goal. Now, strategies. This is where most people get confused. I think of strategies as a category under which a lot of initiatives fall. So you may have 3 or 4 strategies under a goal, but under strategies, you might have a lot of tactics. You'll tackle these tactics this year, next year, a couple years from now. But it's really meant to be a guide. And so an example that relates to the goal that I've already said is we may have strategies related to enhancing access to patient care. And then tactics. So as I said, these are really specific actions and activities that are intended to fall under these strategies. And when you work like hell on these tactics, they help you achieve those goals. So an example here is implementing telemedicine. And then lastly, you have metrics. You don't really have a strategic plan if you can't measure the outcome. How do you know that you're successful? So the example here, increasing new patient visits by 10% by 2022. And that is very intentional. The specifically, what are you trying to do by when? Now, one thing I want to point out is you don't want to have too many metrics. I think it's really easy to throw all of the metrics that were measured in all the time on this, but you don't want to be overwhelmed by that. You really want to keep each of these focused and limited so that it's digestible by a large audience. So hopefully that helped a little bit, Cindy.
Absolutely. It really helps to demystify it and get those words in our psyche. So when I go to the chat, there's a good mixture. There are a lot of our fans and our friends of PMA who said, yes, we're working on a strategic plan. Shout out to all of our folks. There are some who have informal plans, and then there's some who have not partaken in the process. So Lynn, talk to me. Why did you in the HEMONC division decide that strategic planning was important to you? Why did you decide to engage with that process?
Cindy, first, thanks for having us, and I've enjoyed these sessions. I've learned a lot from the different sessions, and the fly swatter was very funny.
I thought you might like it.
I did like that. You know, first, it's a little embarrassing. I've been the division chief for over 14 years, and we just did our first strategic plan about 2 years ago, and we can speak why about my hesitation. But the reason for it was that we've gotten so big. And the complexity of the division, not just based at PCAM, but we have so many regional sites now, and we had incorporated many new practices. And we really were starting to feel not as engaged as an entire community and understand what our overall goals, you know, vision, et cetera, would be. So it was really about, we got so big and we really did feel like we needed to have strategic plan to help guide us into the future. And Carolyn, you know, was our guru and led us through a really successful process. And, you know, Jim will share, but I knew that he has had a really effective strategic plan. It's something that has really guided his department. And so speaking to other chairs and division chiefs also gave me, I'll just say, the courage to do it. But it was really, we got so big and really felt like we needed to do something like this.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I'd love to hear from the audience members. For those who answered yes, that you have a strategic plan, what made you decide to do your strategic plan? And Manju has a great question, and I'm going to throw it over to Jim. Jim, you had a strategic plan, and you decided in the couple past year to do a strategic planning refresh. What was your reason for doing a refresh?
Yeah, thanks, Cindy. Thanks for having us. I think this is a really important topic to think about. And doing a refresh was really important. This was our third iteration of a strategic plan, and I learned a bit through each iteration. And we learned it's important for engaging your whole team, your staff, your faculty as much as possible, setting goals for the future that are aspirational, that people come together around. It becomes a communication vehicle within your department and outside of your department. But I've also really learned that strategy can't be knee-jerk. And there's a lot of things going on around us. Just look at this year, what's happened with racial inequalities, with COVID-19, with the politics and everything. And if you've not thought through scenarios or been prepared for different scenarios, you don't know how to respond and take advantage of, the opportunities there before us. And there are always opportunities before us. But you have to make decisions. Does it fit your priorities? Does it fit where your organization is going? Do you have the resources to do it? So it's really important to lay those things out very carefully and have that engagement across your team to participate.
Thanks. Engagement is a key factor. I'd love to go to the audience. Some of you have said that you are a new leader and the team didn't have a strategic plan, so that was the impetus for you to create one. If you don't have one, why not? I'd love to hear some of the reasons why maybe it hasn't been the right time for you. In the meantime, Carolyn, someone said, how often or should I be engaging people on my team to do this plan? Can you walk us through a very high level strategic planning process?
Yeah, actually, Casey, if you could bring up that slide again, I would love to walk through that. It's a fairly straightforward four-step process. The first thing you want to do is kick off your planning process. And that's actually, one of the most important steps, because you have to think about, what is the focus of the strategic plan? Is it going to be clinical? Is it going to be research, education, or all three? Are there particular issues that are presenting themselves? So understanding these things in the very beginning is going to help you with this next two bullets, which are developing an appropriate project approach, and then also engaging the right people. You need to get the right people involved. You'll have a core team of people who are helping to define your develop your strategic plan, as well as you're going to talk to, as Jim said, a whole host of members of your group in order to get a full sense of what the current state is and what the desired future state is. So that's a very important foundation for the rest of it. The next phase, this yellow phase, is around gathering and analyzing data. This is talking to all the people. This is gathering all of your qualitative and quantitative information about your group, and then also thinking about the internal and external environment. So what sort of regulations are going on that might be influencing? What are patient behaviors doing? What's the workforce doing? That kind of thing that could then inform your strategic plan. And once you analyze this, it results in a sense of themes, these major priority buckets. And once you have that, that starts to give shape to your strategic plan. So you can start to think about what are our goals and strategies and metrics. You're working with your core team on this to help do that. Once you get that on paper or draft down, you want to start socializing that with the people who have helped give input to it, and then some key partners as well. So who do you work really closely with outside of your group that might be able to either provide resources or implementation will depend on. So make sure you get their voice involved in the development of this as well. And then once that's done, the hard work starts, as I think that Jim and Lynn will be able to attest, but it's the implementation and the sustaining of the plan that's, you know, that you've got to be laser focused on that. You have to have the right structures, the right people, the right cadence of checking in, accountability, and celebrations. And so that's the overwork of the phases. In the top part of the screen, you see these are the typical meetings that I hold to bring people together. And you want to map that out too. You want to make sure you get these meetings on the calendar and you set out your project plan so that you know that you're going to get through this and stay focused and motivated to the end. That's a quick summary of it.
That was great. Thank you. So engagement's a really key factor. Let me turn to Jim and Lynn. What were some of, this was a similar process to what you followed in your strategic planning processes. Can you tell the audience and me, what were your lessons learned as a part of this process and any tips that you could share around what worked and maybe what didn't work?
Sure, I can start off, that's okay.
All right.
So we learned a lot, and it was interesting going into our third time around because we had initially engaged with some outside organizations to help us with our strategic plan. And that was helpful, but I will say the last iteration where we worked with PMA, who understands Penn Medicine, understands the Penn Medicine strategic plan, and aligning that to the departments was really important. So I would first say the tools that Cindy and the team have put together are excellent, and to really tap into those to help you along. I think one of the things that I learned
checks in the mail. Thanks for saying that. And yeah.
No, it was really helpful, and your team there is great. I think you have to recognize going into this, it's going to be a living document, and it's not something you're going to create and put on the shelf. And we learned that it becomes stale in a certain period of time. So our previous strategic plans were 5-year plans, and we trimmed this down to a 3-year plan because things are just changing so much in our space, and it was important to narrow it down to 3 years. I can't believe next year will be 3 years already of our plan. We'll be reassessing that. But it's really important that it's living, it's breathing, people are involved with it. And also bringing it back and analyzing on a regular basis. We have leaders that are attached to every goal. And those leaders have the metrics and tactics and everything along with those. And we review those at our executive leadership level on a quarterly basis to make sure we're moving along with the plan itself. So it's really important to think about those processes that you put in place to keep it alive. Because I think the worst thing to do is do all this work and put it on a shelf and pull it out 5 years later.
Yeah, the dusty strategic plan doesn't always get you the results that you're hoping for. Lynn, how about you? Tips, learnings that you share?
I would add that to me, there's two parts that have been so valuable. I want to speak to the process. Because in the process of developing the strategic plan, you are engaging the community. And I think as you pick the people, your core team who are going to be involved with helping to establish the goals and the metrics and the strategies, that was invaluable to bring people together. So I was not prepared for how valuable the process would be to bring a community together. And we ensured that it was all different ranks, all different academic tracks, nurses, administrators, and from all of our locations. So the team concept of moving that forward. And then we did end up holding a retreat as part of the process. And I think that the whole division felt engaged. So there were different steps along the way that people were asked their views. And I think actually, the interview stakeholders, people could share their voice and their opinions, and I think that mattered a lot as well. And one sidebar journey that occurred is that as we were doing this, we were like, we actually have a good thing going here. We don't want a strategic plan that's going to mess up the division. And it caused us actually to take a step back and for us as a division to define our values. And we spent a whole session on then deciding what our values were. And, you know, with Carolyn's guidance, and we had sticky notes, and we shared that at faculty meetings and at division-wide meetings. And that turned out to be super valuable to understand our values and not wreck what we had. And then I want to add that then, as Jim was saying about the implementation, it's been a great tool for leadership development. So we purposely paired two different people to be in charge of a particular goal, then their other in that goal. There could be different groups. And this was an opportunity for some of our younger faculty to get involved. And so it was this leadership development. And then it's turned out to be a really valuable document. So it's maybe not quite as living as Jim's, you know, is, but it certainly, what the engagement and the process, because we did change. I mean, one of the important things was, how do we communicate now? We're so big. And if we had not done the strategic plan in preparing for this year, I don't think we would have succeeded quite as well, because everybody was a part of the process in a new way. So the process was incredibly valuable, and we did want expertise. I think having an outside person and having Carolyn as like an expert and remind us what mission vision was, but then having it has been so helpful over this past 7 months as we've dealt with the pandemic. So process and then having a document. And I would just also add to Jim, it's been a great vehicle for communication internally. So when we have new recruits or someone joins the division, we created a document, which I'm actually gonna do show and tell. But we transferred our word. We did actually put a document together. I forgot how long it was, but then we did synthesize it into a brochure, which is just great to give a quick snapshot of our division. So I don't know why I didn't do it sooner. It just was a home run on many different fronts and so valuable.
Thank you. That was like a ton, like you were chocked full there. So I want to just peel out a couple of things, and we're going to go a little deeper on implementation planning in a minute. What I heard you both saying was the process was so vital, and a secondary positive outcome, in addition to having a strategic plan, was it was really serving as a way of building your team, building camaraderie, getting people to know one another, talking about the future, aligning. So I wanted to just point that out, that this has secondary positive impact that you'll benefit from too when you go through the process. Carolyn, any other tips that you'd share from your expert seat around the process and what works? And I'd also love to hear from the audience. If you've done the strategic planning process before, what learnings or insights or tips did you have about the specific process about building the plan? Carol, any tips that you'd share that haven't been said?
There's two things that I'd probably add, and one that I'm picking out from the chat, but one is keeping an open mind. I think that we often go into these things thinking, you know, I kind of know what this is going to be and what we need. And that's true. You probably know 80, 90% of what you need, but you're going to hear some things that either might be uncomfortable, new, exciting, and there will be a couple of nuggets there. So I really encourage you to keep that open mind. My favorite moment, as I told them before, was when someone on the team did say, I don't want the strategic plan to screw up how great we are. So we really pivoted and decided to add in values to the strategic plan. So we really encourage you to keep an open mind. And the other thing is, the best resource is that Penn Medicine has a strategic plan. Larry Jamison has put one out, and it is a fantastic resource and a great place for everyone to start. I encourage everyone to look at it, and you could use that as your own framework for starting your own strategic plan. Think about what initiatives you want to ladder up to the objectives that are expressed in that strategic plan. It's a fantastic resource.
Thanks, Carol.
I just want to follow up. I think that's absolutely right. We did utilize the Penn Medicine strategic plan as a starting point because we couldn't have something that was outside the bounds of what Penn Medicine was doing. However, it was also important as we developed our goals and our strategies, there were times we had to work with other departments. We had to work with business development in ways across the institution. And we could pull out our strategic plan of things we thought about that may be not necessarily in agreement with where business end was going to go. And we were able to educate parts of the health system why we thought through certain things and why we're approaching things such as quality and safety in a way that we tie into business. And that's actually changed the way business development works with us. So there's opportunities to work with other departments, to work with entities across the system, educate each other, but really have thought through these processes so you're prepared for those when they come about.
And, you know, I think we thought we are going to have the most innovative, creative, different strategic plan. We don't want the same old strategic plan. And people were so generous of sharing their plan. So we had the Penn Medicine, but Jim shared his. Judith Long shared general internal medicine. I mean, other departments shared, you know, and then in the end of the day, it's still very common goals and themes that we have, and it isn't going to be, you know, so different. And so I think the sharing was so valuable, and I know that Jim and I would be happy to share our any, you know, plan that we have or the brochure with you to help, because it is, I think, having a template of what a finished plan and living plan looks like is so helpful. But I agree with what you guys just said.
Thanks. That answered Beth Johnston's question in the chat, and many have been sharing their tips about how helpful a retreat was with their strategic discussions and cascading. Let's turn our attention to the implementation process of the plan. And maybe we'll take a step back to address a question in the chat as well. How did you socialize your plans? And then how did you work towards figuring out how the heck you were going to meet all these amazing, audacious goals that you set for yourselves? Lynn, you want to comment on that? And then I'll go to Jim.
Sure. We did in a variety of formats. I mean, one was sharing draft versions, then we presented it at faculty meetings and to different groups that are convening. So we did, along the way, share the different drafts and then final versions of it. We gave everybody a copy of the brochure. And then we provided, we're going to get to the implementation, but we provided then updates, and we've had the team leaders provide updates at faculty meetings. So they see that this is, it is a framework that we're using, and people want to see the progress, you know, towards it. You know, we've thought about obviously the budget then and how that aligns with the strategic goal so that it's all linked. But I would say it's been iterative in terms of how we've shared and implemented. And then I think importantly, sharing it outside the division. So we shared it with the Department of Medicine. We shared it with the Cancer Service Line. We shared it with the head of the hospitals. So there was, and I think Carolyn gave us a lot of good advice about the external implementation and sharing of the plan. And I would say key stakeholders that were not in the division that were part of our core group as we were developing the plan, because we can't, in HEMONC, we can't do anything without really engaging in service line in certain parts of the Department of Medicine. So we engaged those external stakeholders in the process from the very beginning. And I think that also helped with the buy-in of the overall plan.
Great, thanks. Jim, let me turn it over to you. Tips or learnings that you had around implementation, and did you have any roadblocks that you encountered?
Yeah, there were some. So first of all, I think the socialization is so important, as what Lynn just spoke about, and thinking about that socialization both internally and externally. And you have to recognize, as you're getting your key people involved in the strategic plan, socialize it, not everyone's going to agree with every part of the strategic plan, but it should be directional in your department, that most people say, yeah, this makes sense. But not everybody's going to agree with what you're doing in research or what you're doing in education or what you're doing in clinical, because they have different expertise and different thoughts of what their expertise is in different areas. But our job as leaders is kind of bring that together and coalesce that in a way that we can message that and message that to the department easily. I think what we put together in regards to the PowerPoint presentation was really good because it was simple. It was to the point. It got right to what our goals were. And importantly, we distributed our mission and vision statements really across the entire department at every meeting. We put it on computer screens. We put it in placards across the department. We really wanted people to embrace it and buy into it, our mission and vision. And then the strategies came from there, the goals came from there. So the socialization, as Lynn said, I think is incredibly important inside and outside the department. But understanding you will have some challenges of people that may not agree with certain aspects, but broadly, you hope that they agree with the whole plan as you go forward.
Were there any real resistors that were barriers outside of the department once your plan was finalized, or did you feel as if the process really got any of those concerns addressed during the process before finalization?
Yeah. By the time we got to finalization, we did not have that. I think we hit those speed bumps as we were going through the process, as we debated certain aspects of it. We had external stakeholders involved in our interviews in the beginning of this as we thought through things. So by the time we took it outside the department and presented that, we really had broad engagement. And I think we crossed the T's, dotted the I's in the right way with this, that we hit critical factors that aligned again back with the Penn Medicine Strategic Plan.
And I think, Jim, how his does feel more like living document that everybody knows about. So I think that the way it's been structured as PowerPoint can change. I'm not saying ours is dusty, because we're definitely using it, and it's formed how we've approached, you know, it, during the last 8 to 9 months. But I'm not positive everybody could rattle off our goals, and it's definitely the COVID has affected some of the actual committee work that's been going on. But I would say that the development of our leaders, especially throughout that process, are really engaged in leading us right now. And so again, that to me has been such an important learning, is the process uncovered and gave, you know, these new opportunities to young talent, which has been terrific.
Great.
Yeah, just real quick, Cindy, I agree. Yes, during the last 8 months, our committees came to a screeching halt. So I want to be, just because of COVID and other focuses, but the priorities within the strategic plan did not. And it allowed us to make good decisions over the last 8 months in really challenging times. So those principles were so important to have in place to apply for the challenges that came ahead.
I want to go deep around COVID. Before we do, we have a question from the audience around, did you include trainees? Did you include staff, Jim? Did you include both of those populations?
We had faculty leaders, we had staff leaders, we had trainees, we had a mix across the department. You name it, we tried to tap in every area across the department.
Lynn, how about you?
Yeah, we had nursing leaders and staff and administrators, but we did not include fellows in our planning.
Any reason why? Too temporary?
I don't think we thought of it. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
I think it's a good idea. We didn't, but I would encourage that.
And I can say in others that we've done, when those trainees are involved, they do bring very fresh ideas. There's a lot of energy and just outside kind of influences, which is great, because a lot of us have been here for a long time and we forget about the stuff from outside.
Thanks. Lynn, let me go back to you. Did you have any resistance, and how did you manage any of that resistance during the process? Kian Newman wants to know. Jim talked a little of his. Yeah, what about your department?
I don't know about resistance. I think at times the core group really understood what we were doing, and we were actually meeting, you know, I mean, Carolyn, I think some points of this every other week. So it is a real commitment of time as you're trying to develop this plan. I would just say it just is, when you get into what are the metrics of success, that gets really hard. And that's where the metrics of success need to be aligned with the dashboard that you have, and that's iterative, that there are things that can be easily measured. So I would say more there were aspirational changes that we might have wanted to implement, but it's not easy to measure some of it. And so then I felt like sometimes we had a little bit compromise on what we might want to achieve, because it would be too manual and cumbersome to to really see what the influence of a particular strategy or action item was. So I would say it was more tapping down what we thought we could achieve with it and aligning sort of real world, not so much resistance, but what is really, it's that combination of what's feasible and what was aspirational enough. And I think that was, I would say, the biggest challenge.
So I hear you saying that there was sort of a tension between sort of your idealism and having goals that were just amazing and hard and challenging with more of a pragmatic approach around what was a stretch enough, but right. also possibly achievable versus someday.
Right.
Thanks.
That's exactly so, right.
So I know COVID has really thrown a wrench in all of our lives as leaders, as human beings. How did your strategic plan get impacted by COVID? Let me switch over to Jim. You kind of mentioned at a high level that you've been on pause for 8 months. So how do you think you go back to some of the strategies that you aligned? How are you evolving your thinking now that, you know, such an unforeseen pandemic came upon us?
Yeah, it's been an incredible learning experience, I think, for all of us. And having the strategic plan has actually really helped us. Although we've paused our groups, and our groups were just starting getting going again, have paused for a number of months. We didn't pause using the strategic plan. And we learned some of our key strategies actually helped us through COVID. One of them was from a clinical perspective and business perspective was regionalization across the air, having our satellites in the region closer to people's homes. And we learned through COVID that that's actually a critical strategy for us in radiation oncology because those centers actually floated us financially through the COVID crisis and our patients wanted to be treated closer to home. So that's emphasized that part of our strategic plan that we need to continue that. So it's also brought some of the chaos down as we've been able to have already thought through some of the problems with COVID and applied that going forward. I think also, when we've thought about from a business perspective, and it's important to do this in this time where there's chaos in the region and chaos in Philadelphia, and you see other health systems retreating in some ways, you know, are there strategic opportunities for us as a system to be in certain places, to invest in certain places is important. We've also learned from our lab shutting down, our research shutting down, clearly some of our research has come back very rapidly because of the drive, the desire to get certain things going. We have to refocus. And we're looking at some of our research programs and saying, do we really want to keep doing this? Where do we want to emphasize our product going forward in our strategic plan? Because some of them through COVID, a different lens is looking at some of those research programs. So we may come back in a different way. And the same with education. It's completely transformed through doing things virtually, through how we're recruiting with residents. How much of that's going to stay for the future, we don't know. But having a strategic plan in place allowed us to capitalize on that going forward and adjust and pivot quickly.
So it sounds like you had a plan that because it was able to be evolved, it allowed you to address the ambiguity and uncertainty that we're all continuing to face right now. What about you, Lynn? I know that you've made a joke that yours isn't necessarily as alive and yet you're really living it. How have you and your teams adjusted your strategic plan based on COVID and how are you evolving it? Or your thinking.
Carol, if you were to look at, you know, the goals, I mean, I would say that how we framed what our important goals is, and I'm looking at it right now. I mean, we're living it. I think the only difference is that maybe how the small groups were working on new projects. I would say the main change is that the prioritization is different. So what the loud and clear message, two things that came from the strategic planning was, how do we as a, you know, multiple locations communicate more effectively and collaborate? And that we've just taken to an unbelievable level where we were meeting weekly with all of our sites, now monthly. And that's been incredible, having administrative leadership, nursing and physician leadership at all our sites regularly meeting. And then clinical research at our locations. And that is, we've had to say out loud, That was a priority, to stand up clinical research in the community. We can't do that. We don't have the bandwidth. The finances are affected. So it has made us look at what our priorities were, and we've had to realign. So I wouldn't say the strategic plan is different, but the prioritization of each of those things we've had to modify, for sure.
So it goes to the point that this is a living document, and it helps to force a conversation and some discipline, it sounds like, in your decision making. So we have another question that comes in that I'd like to throw over to you, Jim. It's from our new chair of family medicine, Dr. Rich Wender, and we're really lucky to have Rich here with us at Penn Medicine. So welcome, Rich. Jim, so knowing that you've done three strategic plans, were there any failures, or where did your plans fail or not work in the past?
Yeah. So first of all, welcome, Rich. It's great to have you here. And going through three plans, we've learned a lot. And I think early on in the process, we learned that you have to engage the right people across your department. And it's worth taking the time to think about those people that are really going to be productive and be engaged in this process. Two, you know, as you come up with your plan, that buy-in is so important. It's equal internal and external here, because some of the plan requires resources and directions you're going to go, and you want the health system, the school of medicine, the hospitals, understanding of where you're going and why you're doing that, and it leads to much better success, I think, than not. And I think we've gotten better at developing a process that we review the strategic plan at a leadership level, at our executive leadership team. I think that's really important, to keep bringing that back so it stays in focus as we make decisions. I think early on in our first strategic plan, there are times it did sit on the shelf for a little bit, and we made some investments that maybe we wouldn't have now. So we're very careful now at how we invest in equipment, how we invest in people, how we invest in programs. We always ask, does it fit our strategic plan? Because you can't be great at absolutely everything. You can be good at a lot of things, but you have to be great in some things specifically. So how do you take your strategic plan and apply that? So we've learned to do that over a couple of iterations of our plan, but we weren't as good at that at the beginning. I think we're better at that now. We can still keep improving, for sure. But those are some of the learnings I've had through this.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So PMA is always sort of a good litmus test about what leaders like you are thinking about. And I remember my first year here 6 years ago now, video was the new black. You were all calling me, you wanted me to do a video, you wanted PMA's assistance in doing video. And then we morphed, and then it was like, we got to have strategic planning. And it was great, we got to work with a few of you. And I have no doubt that the audience today is probably saying, maybe I should think about doing a strategic plan. So because PMA is really resourced in a very narrow way, we know that we have to help you, and we can't always have Carolyn be on your projects, but she can be there in spirit. So I'm really excited to ask Carolyn to debut kind of the new child of PMA, our DIY strategic planning toolkit. This is going to help you if you're interested in embarking on a strategic plan, because I think Jim and Lynn really sold me on it. I hope they sold you on it also. So these tools will help you. So Carol, would you mind walking us through? I'm excited about this, and I hope everyone else will be too.
Absolutely. So first thing to do is you go to the Penn Medicine Academy website, and at the top of that screen, you'll see there's leadership pathways. You click on that, and at the bottom of that, you'll see that there's a strategic planning tab. And you click on that, it brings up our website for strategic planning. And on that, you'll find the things that we're talking about today, sort of an overview of what strategic planning is, a framework of our tools. And there's a couple things that I want to call out on this screen. At the bottom there, where you see the sort of colorful rainbow, that is the framework that we walk through today. And within each one of those segments are tools for you to use to help you set up your approach to planning, figuring out who do you need to engage for your plans. You click on each one of those and they'll come up with a tool and something that you can fill out and use as you develop your strategic plan all the way through to implementation and sustaining your plan. So So I also want to call out that there's a few people that have been asking, where is Penn Medicine strategic plan? We created a link on this website so you can easily connect to that. So on the right side of the screen is the link to that. And at the bottom of this page, there's resources. So of course, we always like to hook you up with good articles and LinkedIn learning so you can deepen your learning and just understanding of this subject. So we're very excited about that. I hope that you all check it out. And then if you have any questions or feedback, we're always interested in hearing it.
Carolyn, congratulations to you and the other members of the PMA team who have worked so hard to create these tools and resources and have them go live. It's such an exciting day to debut them today. So I wanted to say thank you and congratulations. So I'd love to hear from you in the chat. What do you think? Do you think that these tools would allow you to be more inclined to building your own strategic plan? Would love to hear from you. And Gretchen has gone ahead and generously posted the various website so you can easily click on the PMA tools and resources, and we hope that you'll visit our site. There's a lot there to help you be an even more effective leader. So what a great conversation. I'm so grateful for it, and I thank you for participating so actively. Let's take a look at the weeks ahead because we've got a great programming lineup for the rest of the year. So let's talk about in 2 weeks. It's gonna be the Penn Medicine Experience Week. So we had to dedicate our lunch with leaders to how to deliver a great patient experience now. We've got a great lineup. Dr. Repchinsky, the Chief Clinical Officer out at LG, Michelle Volpe, CEO of Penn Presbyterian. She also teaches our Focus on Service class. Sandy Jost, Chief Nursing Officer at Penn Medicine at Home, Mike Sella, the COO out at the Penn Medicine Medical Group, and our very own PMA patient experience guru, Craig Lowndes, will be here. So that's October 22nd at noon, so I hope you'll mark it on your calendars. And then we've figured out the programming for the rest of the year. Youngin has been working her tail off, and we've got great guests. So November 5th, you have to tune in. We've got Keith Casper, our Chief Financial Officer for all of Penn Medicine, as well as Regina Cunningham, the CEO of HUP, and Beth Johnston will be our PMA subject matter expert debuting some of our new financial acumen tools. You will not want to miss that one. Since it's going to be November and Thanksgiving may feel a little different, we still wanted to focus on how grateful we are as leaders for the great teams that you've built, we've built. So we're going to focus on recognition and recognizing and rewarding your team. In December, we're going to round out strong. We're going to have a couple of new leaders to Penn Medicine join us and talk about what their experience has been, whether they're coming from the outside, whether they're a clinical leader, whether they're promoted from within. And we'll talk about how it's been to onboard in these really different times, as well as tools and resources for helping you onboard your team. Don't miss December 17th. It's like sweeps week. We're planning a big event on December 17th to celebrate a year of lunch with leaders. So we'll do a year in review. We've heard from many of you that you want the series on your calendars. And so if you click on the PowerPoint once we send it out tomorrow or the Lead Strong site, you can have the whole series right on your Outlook so you never miss another lunch with leaders, which would make me really happy. So that's sort of what we're working on for the next couple of weeks. So let me just stop and say thank you, Carolyn. Great work. Thank you, Jim Metz. Thank you, Dr. Lynn Schuchter. Thanks for being my discussion partners. Thanks for being great clients and friends of the Penn Medicine Academy. You really do us proud. Thanks for sharing your tips and expertise today. And I want to thank each of you for sharing your tips and joining us today. I really love that each of you want to own your leadership role and do even more to be effective. So thanks for making time in your very busy days in a very difficult time to continue to be learning. So as we close things out, I want to remind you to type leave on your phone to exit the poll. We'll also be posting a survey, and we welcome your feedback as we begin programming Lunch with Leaders for next year. We'd love to hear what you'd love to learn more about, and we'd love your feedback on this session. We love hearing from you. So if you have nursing credits, you can get credit hours. That information will be there, and if you want to share this with your friends, your department, your team for consideration, we'll have the Lead Strong site updated with the new link for this session in a couple of days. So I wanted to just say thank you so much. We loved having this conversation with you, and I'll look forward to seeing you again.